It's all about you. It's all about Christ. Now, as we open up your word, again, I ask the Lord that you open up our hearts and our minds. Give us understanding to hear this truth. Allow this truth to come into hearts that are good soil. And Lord, I ask you to help this truth renew our minds, restore the soul, and create in us a passion and excitement for you, your ways, and your plan. And we just pray this in your name. Amen. Oh, those little wafers. Sometimes I actually... All right, we've been studying the book of Galatians. All right. And we started a couple weeks ago, we started with the chapter 3, which was the life-changing gospel. How the gospel is not only supposed to save us, it's supposed to transform us. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. It is so frustrating. I was talking to Gordon this morning. And it is so frustrating because the gospel has been so watered down, so corrupted in so many places that people think, well, as long as they know about the gospel, they've heard it, maybe even said a sinner's prayer, been baptized, but there's no change in their life. They're the same person they were before they professed Christ. That they're okay because they've done some things that God wanted them to do. Even though they may be just totally lost in sin, their world is completely dark, but they're okay with God because they said a sinner's prayer or they were baptized. And they, you know, the gospel, the true gospel, not only saves the soul, but it transforms us. The old ways, the old sinful ways, we let go, we embrace the new. The Holy Spirit has come into our life. The Holy Spirit of God Almighty has come into your life. And you're saying that the God that's greater than this universe cannot change you? You're the same person that you were before? That's impossible. The only way that God cannot change you is that God did not come into your life. True repentance, true belief, if you're in Christ, then you are a new creation. You surrender your life to the Holy Spirit of God. A life that becomes obedient to the Word of God. A life that Jesus clearly can be seen in you by those around you. You're a new creation, born again. By the simple truth of the gospel, which was the next message we had. And it's by faith alone in Christ. And we talked about how all the world's religions, they're all the same. No matter what they really believe in, they're all the same in this aspect. Here's what you must do to make yourself right with God. Here's a list. You better work, and you better work hard, and you better work continuously to earn God's favor. That's all the world religions, except Christianity, which is not a religion. It is a faith, a living faith and a relationship with God, which we will see today. But the simple truth of the gospel is so hard for so many because it is just that simple. By faith alone, they mean that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. No. You come to the cross, wretched, naked, sinful, tarnished, dirty. That's what we bring to Christ. And Christ's blood washes us as white as snow in the eyes of God, and He bestows upon us His righteousness. It's all through the cross, nothing what we do. And that simple truth of faith alone goes all the way back to the very beginning. The gospel was preached in the book of Genesis. We've already seen that. But we go back all the way to Abraham in Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Repent, turn from your old life, come to a new place with me. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The seed that we talked about would come through Abraham, the seed that would break the curse of the law. This is the promise of God to Abraham. Abraham had to accept it by faith alone. And that's what Jesus, the Bible says there in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. We believe in what God has told, Here Abraham believed in what God was going to do. We believe in what God did. Same faith, same righteousness. We're justified by faith. Justification means you are declared righteous. You are justified to walk into the presence of a holy God because your sins have been redeemed. We are unrighteous, sinful. We come to the cross, the sacrifice of Christ, and through being born again, repenting of our sins and putting our faith in Christ, we are born again. We are made new. We are given the righteousness. We are justified to be in the presence of God. Jesus said this, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins.'" Now Paul continues in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, to teach what happens when we enter into this new covenant through Christ. So today I've entitled this sermon, Galatians 4, 1 through 7, Slave, Son, Relationship, Heir. There is a progressive path that we take as we enter into the new covenant. We're going to see that in the movie. That's what that movie is all about tonight, this beautiful path, this journey. But we begin this journey as a slave, and then we become a son and daughter. Then we enter into a relationship to become heirs. It's a path of maturing in the faith. Again, it's not a path of religion where we just attend church and we try to be good people. It's a path of maturing in the faith, in relationship with God. There's only one path for a true born-again believer to take in Christ, and that's discipleship and sanctification, which I guess we've been talking about now for, 6 months? Let's go begin with Galatians 4, verse 1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father." Paul begins this chapter with a real-life truth. An example of something true in this world that Paul wants to use to make a spiritual truth to us and to the Galatians. He says a child, an heir of a great fortune. So you have a father or parents that have created a great company or something and have lots of wealth. Their child is the heir, but not yet. The child doesn't receive the heir, the money, the inheritance. Because they're still a child. They're not mature enough. They have no understanding of what they would be receiving. They have limited intellect. But under the care of slaves, indentured servants, those who work for the father, the child obeys the guardians and the stewards that the father has hired to take care of the child until the time appointed by the father. When the child finally comes of age, now the child can receive the inheritance. Why? Because the child has grown up. They're matured. They're more knowledgeable. They're smarter. They're now responsible enough to receive the inheritance. Verse 3. "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So here's the spiritual truth. We're all created by God, all humanity is, to be children of God. But all of humanity is separated from God by sin. We're orphans. We're children of wrath. Children of the prince of this world, not of God. We're under the bondage of the elements of this world, sin and our sin nature. But at the right time, depending on the timing of the Father, Christ came to redeem humanity from sin. So that those in Christ can receive the adoption, no longer have to be orphans, but they can be sons and daughters of God. Verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." God gives us His Spirit. Why? So we can be connected to God who is Spirit. God is not this old man, physical old man, long beard in the sky. We have no idea what God looks like because God is Spirit. And He's greater than this universe. So there is this ultimate being. Why He should see us, let alone love us, let alone why does He want us to have a relationship with Him where we call Him Abba? We'll get to that here in a little bit. A relationship with God designed, God designs this relationship to get us ready to receive the inheritance of God. Since God owns all things, that's quite an inheritance, isn't it? Just as the child in the real life situation, the child had to mature to receive his father's inheritance, we must mature. We must grow and be ready to receive the inheritance. This maturity, this growing in the faith is the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, which is your guarantee of salvation. See, without this maturity, you have no assurance. Yes, once saved, always saved. But the statement should be, once truly saved, always saved, because there's so many false gospels and so many false converts today. How do you know you're a real convert? Well, I attend church. No. Well, I try to read a chapter a day to keep the devil away in the Bible. No. No, it's this maturing, it's this transformation that the relationship brings. Paul is letting the Galatians know, and us as well, that this path that God has put us on is a relationship with Him that is designed to mature us as children of God and grow us in understanding of Him and His ways. Not religion. Not cleaning up our own lives and trying to make ourselves look better and fix our own problems. No, this is a relationship, a walk of faith that the Holy Spirit transforms us so that people can see not us, but Jesus Christ in us. We can't do that on our own. Oh, there's lots of people trying it. They're trying religion. They're trying to be good. They're trying to clean up their lives. But Oliver here was sharing a little bit of his testimony with the men yesterday on the lake. And he goes, you know, I was on this road and I was good, and I had nowhere to go. I wasn't going anywhere. There was nothing he could do in of himself. But he could surrender to Christ and have this new path. We are to become good and responsible heirs of His kingdom. This is what God has called us to. Not religion. So let's step through quickly the process of salvation. The gospel that changes us completely. Going from slave to child of God to maturing as a child of God so that we can be responsible heirs of God. So quickly, here we go. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were born sinful. You know, as cute as babies are, and they're cute, I love babies, and they grow into be teenagers. But they're so cute. But guess what? That's a sinful little being right there. They have a sin nature already. It's part of the curse from the fall of Adam and Eve. All humanity has imputed sin, the sin nature that Adam and Eve brought into to all their descendants. Then we have an inherited sin from our fathers. Between those two, they generate the personal sin that we need to repent from. Psalms 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. People say, well, that's talking about the mother's sinful. No. No. It's talking about, the Hebrews there is very clear, it's talking about the child. We're born in sin. And how do we know that? How many of you wonderful parents out there taught your children to lie? Any of you? Where'd they learn that from? I mean, it's not like they're in school yet to learn it from some other bad kid. You know, stealing. Did you teach your kids to steal? No. To be selfish? No, it comes naturally, doesn't it? Because they have a sin nature. God says this in Psalms 53. God looks down from heaven God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have all together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Humanity is sinful. We're sinful from birth, separated from God. And in that condition, we don't seek God. No one seeks God. We all go any and all directions away from God, but none of us seek God because none of us are good. Let me tell you something. If you are born again, if you are blessed to be born again, saved this morning, it wasn't because you sought God. It was He sought you and drew you to Him. If you're here this morning, you're not here because you decided to come. God is drawing you, maybe to salvation or maybe to hear the truth, to grow, but not one of us would be here if it wasn't for God first coming and drawing us. Our sinful nature would have kept us away from Him forever because we're not good. We're slaves to sin. Jesus stated it this way. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son, a daughter, abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." See, those who commit sin, those who have a practice, a lifestyle, they're slaves. And we were all slaves at one point. Where sin, our selfishness, it controlled us. And slaves do not inherit anything from the master. But a son and daughter, those are the ones that inherit. And those are the ones that will abide in the house forever. Jesus came to free us from the slavery of sin, to bring about the means of our adoption, so that we can be sons and daughters of God. It's not about getting our act together, cleaning up our own lives. No, we are slaves and we cannot free ourselves, let alone clean ourselves up. But God seeks us out. Even when we're dead in our sinfulness, and that's how the Bible describes us, we're dead souls, dead spirits. Our spirit is dead, our soul is corrupt. We're slaves. Galatians 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law." What is under the law? The curse. What is the curse? Death. "That we might receive the adoption as sons." Remember, the law reveals our sin. God sent forth Jesus Christ at the perfect time according to His plan to die for the sins of humanity. The people before Christ, like Abraham, those that listened to the Word of God, they put their faith in the moment that God would send the Redeemer, the seed, through the woman, the seed, the descendant of Abraham, who would redeem them. Their faith, they believed in that, and they were saved by faith. Now we, after Jesus came, understand that God fulfilled the promise through Christ, and Christ died on the cross for us, so we believe in what Christ has done. It's the same faith from both directions. God brings the gospel into our lives at the perfect time. He works through our lives, through the circumstances of our lives, when we're not seeking Him. And He starts to draw us, and He starts to say, "Okay, it's time for you to come home." But we don't decide to do that on our own, and we can't. He calls us, and then He enables us to believe in Him. Our faith is not of ourselves. He is the author and finisher of our faith. It's all by grace. We have nothing to boast about. He calls us home when He knows it's the best time, when we're going to be most prone to listen. We still have a free choice. We can still reject, but He does seek us out. If you're born again, you're saved today, it's not because you decide to seek God. And when He seeks us out, like I was saying a minute ago, when He seeks us out, He doesn't seek us out when we start to get our act together, when we clean up our own lives. No, He seeks us when we are dead in trespasses and sin. And sometimes when we're at the bottom of the barrel and there's nowhere to go. Sometimes when our sin has wrecked our marriage, our family, our lives, whatever the sin is that has destroyed us, that's when we're finally willing to look up, maybe. And see the redemption that He offers. Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, trespassing the law, sinfulness, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. We don't have to clean up our lives. We don't have to get our act together. We just have to come. Come humbly, turning from our old sinful ways, our own self-righteous ways, and we come and we surrender to him. And we receive the grace. And once we are saved, we're born again, we enter into this new covenant by faith in Jesus Christ. We're made sons and daughters, called into a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul says back in Galatians 4. And because you are sons, daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba is a translation for Papa. Now, some people, some cultures are more open to this, and sometimes here in America, but Papa is not a regular American term that we have. We have dad, father, but Papa is a very personal, it's a term of very close relationship. And it's just an endearing term. God says he wants that we call out Papa. Now, this is hard for a lot of people. Not all, but some. Because maybe they didn't have a great father. Your human father was not a great example of a father. Sometimes there's fathers who have done terrible things. And so this God who wants to relate to them as father, as papa, there's walls, there's barriers there, there's issues. But let me encourage you with this thought. God is the perfect love. He is the perfect father. Your human father may have let you down. God will not. And by grace, if you had a good father, God is even a better father. Abba. He's not saying, call me Lord God Almighty. Stand back. Bow. Serve. No. He's saying, call me Papa. Imagine that. The God Almighty, the great thou art, bigger than the universe that he created, is wanting you to call him Papa, and inviting you into a relationship, not religion, a relationship where you actually can hear his voice, begin to experience his presence, his peace, his joy, his comfort. You know, my relationship with Wendy, and all women will attest to this once they, if they marry, that they make the man better, right? Right? All men need a good woman, right? And then, yeah. So, you know, my relationship with Wendy, it's been better for me. She's made me a better man, better person. The relationship did that. It's the same with God. He wants this relationship. He wants you to know him, not know about him, which religion does, but know him. This is what Jesus said in John 17. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Not know about them, but know. You see, take some famous person that you like. You know about them probably, right? You know all about them. But you don't really know them. And there's the difference. Religion tells you all about them. Relationship, you get to know. And it's a relationship as he is father, he is papa, and we're his children, sons and daughters. And we're to learn from our father, learn from papa, to learn of him, to learn of his ways, so that we can become good heirs of his kingdom. Go back to Galatians 4, verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, a daughter, and if a son, daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. No longer a slave to sin. Christ has freed us. He's given us his Spirit. We are now adopted sons and daughters. We get to call this relationship with God where he is Papa. Called to be an heir of his kingdom. See this progression? We're to be a good heir. The child must grow up and mature to become full of age. How does this happen? How do we become these good heirs of Christ? How do we grow in relationship with God? How do we mature as His children? Well, let's look at what Peter said. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, let it go. Let the old go. You know, my kids have grown up in ministry and in the church, but both these two have come to Christ within the last 6 months. Go, well, I've been in church their whole life. They're preachers' kids. What do they have to turn from? Tell me, they got some stuff to turn from. I love them both. But even if you grew up in church your whole life, you're going to have to turn. Turn from sin. Is it hot in here? I see people waving themselves with fans. Is it hot? 72. All right, I'm going to turn it down. Unfortunately, this side, you're going to get blasted. So if you start getting cold, push somebody over on this side and get on this side. All right. So, but anyway, we always have sin in our life and selfish things we turn from. Okay? So we have to let that stuff go. We're new creations of Christ. Don't hold on to the sin. Don't hold on to the world. And look at it says, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You know how babies desire the bottle, the milk? Have you ever had a little baby, those beautiful, innocent little babies at 3 in the morning, screaming, their veins are popping out because you're not getting the bottle fast enough? And they're screaming at the top of their lungs, but as soon as they feel the little nipple of the bottle, they what? I mean, it's like level 10 noise. You know, it's like, gosh. They desire that milk, don't they? How many times do we scream for the Word of God until we get it? How many times do we go to churches and pastors are teaching some fluff lesson or telling you that, hey, you can have your best life now and blah, 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 blah. We don't scream for the Word of God anymore. Do you desire the Word? If, indeed, you have tasted the Lord is gracious. If you've tasted the grace of God, if you're saved, you will desire the Word of God. A lot of people say, well, I have no desire to read the Word of God. And I'm saying, well, there's a problem. Because the Bible says if you've tasted the grace of God, then you should desire it. The Holy Spirit of God brings the desires of God into you. If you don't have the desires of God in you, maybe the God hasn't come into you. Well, I've been in church my whole life, and I said a sinner's prayer when I was in Vacation Bible School and I was baptized. So what? What does the Bible say? Are you a new creation? Do you have the desires? Verse 4, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here's this progression where we're being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. A lot of times people say, well, there's a pastor of the church, and the pastor, he's the pastor. He's responsible. He needs to be doing all this other stuff, all this stuff. I'm just a member of the church. Well, actually, no, you're a part of the priesthood along with me. You know, a lot of things that I am called to do, and you guys are called to do the same thing. A lot of churches want to hire professionals, quote unquote, to do all the stuff that they don't want to do. Guess what? You're in the same boat with me. Holy Spirit, we're raised up this relationship that God calls us into through the Word of God, which is a letter to you or a text or an email so you guys, young ones, can understand. He's revealing Himself in the most non-threatening way. And not a way He's forcing, because you have to open up the book. You have to seek the relationship. And that's another thing about this relationship. If my relationship with Wendy, if it was just her doing things for me, her seeking me, what kind of relationship would that be? It would not be good, would it? For the relationship to work, both have to seek one another. Both have to seek. We have a role to play in here. We've been saved by the grace of God. Now He's called us to call Him Papa, but we are to seek Papa. It starts with the Word of God, and the Word of God through the Holy Spirit is the sanctification process we've been talking about. When we are built up, we are transformed, and we become a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Yes, we are all called to sacrifice for Christ. Yes, the gift is free, but then we're told to pick up our cross and follow Him. It's not about us anymore. It's about Him. He lives in us. But so many people don't want this. Look what the book of the author of Hebrews said. For thou, by this time you ought to be teachers, talking to this group of Jewish believers, ones that were thinking about falling away back into religion. He says, For thou, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. 82% of the people in the American church are babes. Because 82% don't read their Bibles. What they come to do, they come to church so the pastor can give them a bottle. They come to get milk from the pastor's sermon. Or maybe attend one Bible study. A lot of people attend Bible studies, but they don't actually do the Bible study. They just attend it. They're coming here for a bottle. But see, the word is designed in the beginning. You're not going to understand all of it, but you're going to understand some of it. It's like milk to the young Christian, the baby in the faith. But then you start to mature in the faith. You start to grow up. And then the milk turns into meat. As you're delving into the Word of God, and there's meat there, there's food. And you see, we have to eat, don't we? Physically, to eat, to survive. You have to eat at least one meal a day. You know, at least one. But spiritually, we think we can grow by getting one bottle on Sunday morning. Then we go the whole week without being fed. Dense. If you came here and you had one meal this morning, and then you didn't eat till next Sunday morning, what would it be like? Yeah, he's a football player. Yeah, he's a football player. You know, he's not going to have any strength. But Christians do that all the time with their faith. And that's why 82% are babes. That's why the church is in the condition it's in today. There's 20%. The church is in decline. Sometimes I was like, "Why? If you're going to make me a pastor, Lord, why didn't you do it back in the 30s, 40s, 50s when everyone went to church? And now I do it when 20% of our populace attends church. This is my time. No matter how bad it is, this is my time and this is your time. We're the church. We can still get the job done because through God all things are possible. But not if most of us are babes. Not baby, you know, I have babies. Because people say, babes, hey, babes, where's babes? Okay, clarify. Babies. Okay? Yeah, someone on the internet's going to hear, hey, that church has got babes, let's go. Babies. When most of the church is babies, we can't go out there and make the good fight. Me and other ministry leaders and Bible study teachers end up basically babysitting inside the church. I'm not here to be a babysitter. We're here to equip, to mature, for the church to become good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to put on the full armor of God, and let's take the fight out to those trapped in darkness. We are to mature. Galatians 4, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. The Father has appointed the time now for us. And, you know, it still amazes me. It just amazes me how many people still want the world and all its corruption and nastiness compared to this inheritance, this relationship, and this inheritance that you can have in God. The reason they want the world is because it's right there. They can have it. It's immediate. The promises and the journey is tough, and the promises and the inheritance is far off. So a lot of people don't want to travel this path. But I encourage you, you won't be alone. We'll be there on this path with you. The whole movie tonight is all about this. Taking the path. This morning, if you're here and you're not a believer, you know you haven't been changed. Your life, you're a slave to sin. You're trying your best to clean yourself up. You're trying to do the right thing. It's not about what you can do. It's about what Christ has done. You need to turn from that, all that, the self-righteousness, all your self-works. And you need to turn from your sinful ways, and you need to put your faith in Christ. The appointed time is now. God has you here to hear the truth. Act on it. Receive it. No fancy prayer. Just the heart understanding. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. It's not a fancy prayer. It's what the heart is breaking and the mouth says to God in faith. Turn from your sins. Put your faith. Call out to Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you are saved, are you maturing in the faith? Or are you a babe? Baby. You a baby in the faith? Or are you growing up? Let me ask you something. In your faith, your relationship with God, well, let's just say in your faith first. In your faith, are you the same Christian you were a year ago? 5 years ago? 10? 20? There hasn't really been a change in you. You're pretty much still the same kind of Christian you were way back when. There's a problem. Now, let me ask you something. Do you know God, or are you getting to know God? I know we have some new believers, but are you starting to get to know God? Or do you just know about Him? But are you starting to experience Him? Would you describe yourself as being in a religion or in a relationship? Be honest with yourself. Because it's easy after salvation to slide into religion and replace it as relationship. Are you in a religion? Are you in a relationship that is maturing you, changing you, and you're getting to know Papa? You know, I got a song I want to close with. It's an older song by Rich Mullins, but it's about Abraham. It's about starting out seeing the sky. Remember when Jesus took Abraham out, or God took Abraham out and said, look at the stars of heaven. These will be your descendants, as many as the stars of heaven. That was an amazing promise to Abraham, who at that moment had no children. How many times do you think Abraham looked out at that beautiful night sky and said, wow, there's the promise. But did he receive the promise to himself at that moment? Oh, it was there and beautiful, probably so big and almost could touch it, but it was still so far away. You know, one of those lights, one of those stars that lit up that God said, look, these will be your descendants. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you've entered the new covenant, which is the covenant to Abraham, and now you're a descendant of Abraham spiritually, you were one of those lights up in the sky that night. The song talks about seeing the promise. And we have a promise of an inheritance. But we have a long journey between then and now, then and now. A lot of people don't want to take this journey. But if we go step by step with God, God will take us down this path. Again, exactly what the movie is talking about, the whole movie tonight. Really encourage you to see it, because visual can really help a lot of people. But I want to close with this song. It's the appointed time. Are you a believer? And if you are you maturing in your faith?
Sky was so far away.
Beautiful image and thought to walk step by step with you. That you're going to be there with us, never leaving us nor forsaking us. And when we stumble, you're not there to beat us down or to condemn us, but to lift us back up and continue the path. Lord, I ask if there's anyone in here this morning who does not know you, they are not right with you. They are not born again. They have been duped by a false gospel, false teacher, false religion, Lord, that you will break through that deception. They will see their desperate need to put their faith in you, to be born again, to have that moment between them, God the Father, with you as mediator, your death, your burial, your resurrection. Lord, let them be born again. Let them call out in faith, in the humbleness of a broken sinner needing a Savior. And Lord, for those that have already done that, and we are born again, we have tasted the Lord is gracious. Lord, I ask you to help us see it's time to break free from religion. It's time to take this path, personal path with you as we grow and mature as your sons, as your daughters. Lord, we don't want to be satisfied with being babies in the faith, but we're ready to mature, that you may use us to help others find you. Lord, I pray for everyone in here. Let us go out this week, Lord, in your grace and your mercy. Let us have a good week in you. Let us seek you with all our hearts, and let us walk step by step with you. And we pray this in your name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.